declaring the salvation of Jesus Christ. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our pastor and teacher, Chris Gordon.
As always, so very grateful that you have tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I'm going to read a little bit out of Revelation chapter 6, and we'll conclude today our study in the first five seals. Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering to conquer. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, "Come and see." Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hands. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for denarius, and three quarts of barley for denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine." When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed with him. And power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. We'll stop our reading there. Now, this is a really fascinating section. You really can understand it when it's set in the context as what Jesus explained in Matthew chapter 24, when he talked about the buildings of the temple being utterly destroyed, that not one stone would be left there upon another. The disciples wanted to understand what would happen. And remember, Jesus came along and he said, "There's going to be, see to it that no one deceives you. There will be wars and rumors of wars, famines and pestilences in various places." What did he say? "All these things that are happening are the beginning of birth pains." So just like when a woman gives birth, the contractions are awful and painful and they get closer and closer together, this present evil age will be characterized by these birth pains. There's going to be wars and famines and sufferings and sorrows, and economies will fail. And there will be death, and there will be widespread panics at times. These things are going to happen. They've always happened. Remember the bubonic plague? Who would have ever thought that in the 20th century we'd have two world wars? The world had never known such a thing. And so all these horsemen are representing the various disasters that the righteous will have to endure. Remember, they're struggling with this. They didn't understand. All these things were happening, and they didn't understand what it meant. And so here we see deception would fall on the earth. And here we see that there would be conflicts sent on the earth. People will kill one another. Here we see that scales will go bad. In other words, inflation will happen, and prices will be way off. 800% here inflation is described in the third seal of scarcity on the earth. And there will be widespread death on the earth. That's what these horsemen represent. And we've looked at why this is happening, why these things are going on. They struggled with this, the Christians. And Revelation 6 is telling us that the birth pains have begun, and they're going to get worse and worse until Christ finally comes. And you see, the world is trying to prevent all of this. I mean, I said earlier in the week, how many movies have we seen of heroes who are going to stop world destruction, break up asteroids that are going to hit the earth, stop lava from wiping away cities? I mean, we've seen how many movies about this? Volcanoes and everything. And man always unifies, and man always comes together. The United Nations is set up. All these things are to prevent the things happening on the face of the earth. Global warming. All these things of our fears of the destruction, of the falling apart of this realm, because the creation groans, as Romans 8 says. And you know, coming back to the global warming thing, let me just tell anyone who's listening, if you believe that, man's not causing that. I'll tell you who's causing it. This is a result of decreation due to judgment, if there is such a thing as global warming. In other words, what Revelation 6 is showing us is that Christ is unleashing judgments on this world right now in anticipation of a final horrible judgment that's coming on the face of the earth. It's what all these things tell us. They're birth pains. Now, I said yesterday, you need to put yourself in the first century for a minute, you know? Imagine if you had a totally misplaced patriotism. Imagine if your idea of Christianity meant God's going to prosper you now. Imagine if it meant health and wealth. Imagine if it meant your best life now. Glory now on the earth. Can you imagine the utter confusion people are going to have if that's the message they're receiving from Christianity today when these things hit? That God doesn't want you to suffer and that God wants to make your life better here on earth. Have they not read? Have they not known? Have they not heard? Through much tribulation, we enter the kingdom. In this world, said Jesus, you will have tribulation. Jesus prayed instead that we would be kept through it. See, that's what the issue is here for these first century Christians. All they're experiencing is pain and conflict. Loved ones defecting and just the hardships of living under the sun. And you know, these same things go on today. Who knows what you're being experiencing? And the struggle as a Christian is why, O Lord? Or how long, O Lord? Remember in Rome, they had bought into the idea of the Pax Romana, the peace of Rome. Rome was the light. Rome was bringing about peace and security for its citizens. And that's the very thing we're fighting about today. What are we all desperately trying to do here? We're trying to preserve domestic tranquility, the right of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Listen, no one has the right to take life. But do we have the right to life? I'll tell you what, the Lord holds our lives in his hand, and he's appointed when life ends. He's the author of life. And as we are all trying to pursue life, liberty, and happiness after the fall, the message of the Bible is you can't obtain it here on this earth. We forfeited that when Adam and Eve sinned. They had life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness in the Garden of Eden. That's gone now on this side of heaven. And so even though we set up all these things to try to prevent the calamities, what Revelation is telling us here is that he's not going to let that happen because the Lord Jesus Christ is about to judge this world in righteousness. And you see, Christians need to understand this. They in the first century needed to understand this. They're getting plagued with false teachers. They're getting hit with all these struggles. They're seeing everything fall apart in creation. They're seeing the struggle of the empire, the chaos, the fighting, the discord. And the Lord opens heaven to tell them that they've got to live through this. And you know, that's somewhat of a comfort that God's people have always lived through these things. But that these things are birth pains, their judgments from the throne. They were being persecuted by their friends and family for identification with Christ, and they needed to understand what the Lord said. He sends the division. Blessed are you when men persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you for my name's sake. You're blessed if that's going on. Many of these Christians were poor for Christ's sake. They were losing jobs, opportunities, money, and lands. They're struggling. And they see the Lord with scales in his hands. They see the wars. And here's a horseman riding out. And the Lord is teaching us all. He's in control of it all. And that he is preventing us having our best life now. It's the theology of the cross. And you see, that's what I close with today. This is the fifth seal, isn't it? Listen to the fifth seal. The fifth seal says, he wants to encourage us here. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and the testimony which they held. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" I can only imagine John. That's what I want to know. How long do we have to keep enduring living in this wicked world? We read, "Then a white robe was given to them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed." You know what all this pictures? All of those believers, every one of them, who have been through the tribulation on earth and have died, are desperately up in heaven, wanting the fulfillment of everything. You see, in heaven they can see clearly how wicked the earth is. They long for God to bring an end to all of this. And they see Christ, who's already started to judge, and they want to know, when does it finally end? When does the great final judgment come? And the only reason, dear listener, it's not over yet, is because there's a whole bunch of the Lord's people on earth who still have to come in, the elect. When the sixth seal happens, that's judgment day. There's no more salvation. I wonder, while I want to be with Christ, I want to go there soon. As soon as he says that's enough, though, do you realize there's no more salvation for anyone who hasn't believed? And you see, that's what we have to remember. God is beginning to judge this world, and the only reason it's not over is because he's bringing in his elect. And think about it. He describes our struggle in terms of martyrdom. It's a metaphor to encourage us that the sufferings we're facing now have a purpose in this life. And we see what that purpose is. Our sufferings are not meaningless. They have a meaning assigned to us from heaven, that in God's perfect plan, we get to show the world that we share in Christ's sufferings. He bought his people to assure them that they are no longer under his wrath. But we remain here to fulfill the mission he's given to us. We are purchased for this reason. I'm thankful God is judging this wicked world. Do you really want this world forever? See, no matter how much we lose the oil and the wine of this world, the Lord has promised us that we have the true bread and wine. We have the true body and blood. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that conflict, we can always be assured that he is with us to the end. Do you know your purpose here on earth, if you're a Christian, is to carry about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's a great purpose. So Revelation 6 is showing us what is happening in this present evil age and what we can expect. It's not going to get better. You're going to see some crazy things happen on the face of this earth. And we pray that those who don't believe, maybe there's some listening now that don't believe, that when they see these things fall, they would begin to consider that these are all precursors. These are all signs that a final, awful day of judgment and destruction is coming, when this world will be burned with fire and there will be a new heavens and a new earth where righteousness dwells. The only way you're making it there is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to come to him in the day of salvation, to turn and repent of your lawless deeds, and to trust him for life. He's your confidence. He's your life. And so my prayer today, as we consider Revelation, to see how comforting this is. He surrounded his people with strength and peace and assured us that through it all, not one hair can be lost from our heads.
We thank you for tuning in today. As a listener-supported program, we welcome your prayerful and financial support. To find out more about how you can contribute to these broadcasts, visit our website at www.agradio.org. That's www.agradio.org. Many resources are there for you to learn more about who we are and what we believe. We thank you for tuning in today. May the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in all of its glory continue to richly bless you.